Carl. I had the chance to go to school there for a while, and what a beautiful place it is that's changing too with all kinds of different people. Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon was a man who asked God for wisdom, and God gave him these words, and I'm going to challenge you to do something different in 2018. I do this, and I want to encourage you to do it. Read the book of Proverbs every month. If you read one chapter a day, you will have read through the book of Proverbs in a month. There's 31 chapters. So it's easy to do. Today's the 31st. So you would read the Proverbs 31 woman. But I'll tell you, in reading this over and over and over and over and over and over, I get more and more and more and more and more out of it. So I want to encourage you, read the book of Proverbs. It will transform your life. Let's all stand and reverence the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. I'm preaching today on the activity of God's presence. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And the Bible says, he shall direct thy path. I'm telling you, and I want you to hear it today, God is already in 2018. He's already there. He's got all the plans. He has the path. He has the purpose. Everything is already laid out. We need to know who this God is today. That's my desire, that we'll know God today. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit now to anoint this time of worship. May we give you our undivided attention. You're speaking here today. I know you are. God, you're always speaking. The question is, are we listening? God, would you give us ears to hear today? And you said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. I pray for your anointing. I pray, God, that you can do only what you can do. And that's transform lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's been all over me here lately that I communicate the activity of the presence of God in our lives. And so I'm preaching a whole series. It may take a year. I've got a desire to share some in-depth stuff with you. I don't know if I'm going to do this, still praying about it, and that is giving you all a book that you will work through during the week, and I'll preach it on Sunday. Not from the book, I'll be preaching from the Bible. But to get you involved in a study called The One True God. I think the reason, listen to me, we don't talk about the presence of God any more than we do is because we really don't know just who God is. We know about God, but do we know him on a day-to-day experience level? Do we experience God? If I were to ask you, what is God doing in your life right now, could you tell me? We haven't fully experienced God's presence in our life because we haven't been actively seeking it. In other words, we only seek God's presence when we're in a tight spot or when we want something. Why do we act this way? We act this way because we haven't become completely convinced that God's presence is the only thing that can strengthen and help us overcome the obstacles that arise. In fact, oftentimes, we will lean to our own understanding, as Solomon said. We will depend on ourselves because we think, well, I know I can depend on me. But do we know that we can depend on God? Are you with me? Well, how does that look? How do you deal with this subject? How do you seek God's presence in our life? Well, number one, God's presence is always built upon a relationship. Number one, relationship. You see that in Proverbs 3, 5. And it's easier said than done, so I wanted to find this. Trust in the Lord. Okay, you can only trust someone that you believe in, right? All right, if I was to come over here and say I want to fall back in someone's arms, I want to make sure that I can trust that person to catch me, right? It's, by the way, I don't know anybody would catch me. you would catch me? I told Sherry one day, I was talking to her about her love for me. I said, if you love me, you'll stand in your head. You know what she did? She stood on her head. She really did. I can't stand on my... I mean, the lady just stood on her head, feet straight up. Love is an action word. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But trust in the Lord. God's whole goal is to bring you into a relationship with Himself. One of the saddest indictments of the day's church is that Christians often settle for religion rather than relationship. We get so caught up in our rituals. I was recently, and I'm not putting down any church. Don't you take this out of context. But I was in this huge Catholic church, and I was looking. I thought, wow, this is beautiful. And I thought about our little Advent wreath that was here. And I looked at that Catholic church. I'm not lying, y'all. That wreath would cover the whole pulpit area. It had four chains on it that when they lit the candles, that wreath would go up, and because the church was so big and it was so huge and everything was so big in there. I thought, wow, this is a beautiful church. But I never want to be a part of something that don't see how big God is. We can get so caught up in our rituals and our traditions and our religion that we miss the God that we worship. I'd rather be in a church just like this building and see a big God show up than have all the fancy structures that many churches have. I didn't come here to worship the building. How about you? I don't believe church is about a building. I believe it's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to learn to trust Him even when you can't trace Him. He knows what He's doing in your life. He knows what He's up to. Why do we find it so difficult then to trust the Lord? I find it difficult even to talk about it. Because you know what? It's easier said than done. To truly put your trust in the Lord. One reason is that we don't know Him well enough to trust Him. To know God is to love God. Then to love God is to trust Him. And to trust Him is to obey Him. And to obey Him is to be blessed by Him. Another problem we have is that we can't let go of the situation that we need to trust Him in. We are just that way. That's our nature. We want to do something with it. We man are the world's worst. We want to fix it. There's a lot of things in life you can't fix. There's a lot of things in life you don't know what to do about your situation. And maybe you have got some illness or you're dealing with cancer or whatever you're dealing with. Let me tell you something. Something that is most difficult for you is tailor-made for God. It really is. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too difficult. The problem is this. We often ask, well, why don't God answer my prayers? Could it be because we're not trusting Him to answer our prayers? We're trying to work it out. And as long as it's in our hands, it's not in God's hands. So what about this relationship? We want to do it ourselves, but in order to be successful, we must turn everything over to Him. And if it's worth part of it, then it's worth all of it. Sometimes we'll just give part of it to God. Well, if it's worth giving part of it to Him, then it's worth giving all of it to Him. Amen? It comes down to this, because this is where God is. It's a love relationship. Look at Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord, that's the relationship, with all thy heart. God desires a deep, intimate love relationship with you. God's plan is not a roadmap. It's a relationship. God will not give you a map for your life. He's not after giving you a roadmap. He's after a relationship with you. And He wants you to trust Him out of love. If you love Him, He says, you will obey me. We do what God says in His Word and through His Holy Spirit because He wants what is best for us every time and because we love Him. Our obedience happens because we're in a relationship with Him. Listen, Matthew 22:37 is a powerful verse. Jesus summed up all the commandments with this verse. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And He said, this is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus said it best in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Now listen to this. This is profound. This was in our devotions yesterday. Perhaps the solution to our tendency to disobey God is not trying harder, but loving more. That's good. Think about it. It's not trying harder. Oftentimes we'll try harder. But God says, instead of trying harder, love me more. I think that's the answer in this relationship because all that God wants is our love. And by the way, if our love relationship is right, everything else falls in place. It really does. You won't have to beg people to serve God who love God. I don't get in this pulpit and preach about giving every Sunday for this reason. It's not about our giving. It's about our relationship. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a heart question. It really ain't got nothing to do with money. It has more to do with your love for God. Perhaps an intimate relationship with Jesus, one in which we live and move and have our being in Him in every aspect of life, is no doubt the key to our obedience. When we love deeply, we will more likely cling to Him closely. Where and whenever the activity of God is present, there will be love. I'm telling you something, friend, there is love in the presence of God. Amen? There is joy in the presence of God. Where God is, there's going to be a lot of joy. You take a church that don't have no joy, I'll tell you why it don't have no joy. God's not there. Where the Bible says where the Lord is, there's going to be joy. We laugh a lot around here. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, we laugh and we have a good time and we enjoy our relationships one with another because we are rightly related to God. And when you're rightly related to God, you're going to enjoy your relationship with one another. Hello? Amen. You're not going to be mad at anybody too long. You're going to have to get it right. Amen? God's presence, I'm telling you something, makes all the difference when it comes to love. You want to grow in your awareness of God's presence, then love God and love one another. And then learn to listen. Listen. Proverbs 3:5, lean not to thine own understanding. When you are in a relationship with someone, you know their voice. Do y'all know that when Sherry calls me, she never has to say, this is Sherry Stewart. She never has to say that to me. I don't remember Sherry ever saying, this is Sister Sherry. No. I know her voice. I'm in a relationship with her. My mom, I can hear her now. Oh, can I hear her? This was a big thing when I was a kid. When mama said your name, you better come running. I knew her voice. It was interesting. Other mothers would call their children in our community. We were all over the place. When I was coming up, you could play anywhere. We were all over the place. We would play a lot down in the woods, us boys would. But I could hear mama say, Ronnie! And I put down whatever I didn't think, well, I'll lean to my own understanding. That didn't work with my mother. I'm going to say it like it is. She was mean. If you didn't come the first time, she would apply understanding to your seat of correction. Real quickly, because my mother would beat you as quick as, and she wouldn't whoop you, she'd beat you. I mean, she just, you know, she must have, I don't know. Anyway, that's love though, isn't it? And my mom taught me, I'm not going to call you twice, son, one time, and that's enough for me. And she knew that we would be there. You listen to the voice you know. The Bible says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I wonder sometimes why churches perish. I wonder sometimes why people perish. Could it be it's because we don't listen? I've heard people say, well, I hadn't heard God speak. It's not whether God's speaking. He's speaking all the time. It's whether you're listening or not. Hello? And it comes down to this, that relationship. Are you in such a relationship with God that you know His voice? Adam, he knew who God was. God came in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, Lord, I hid myself. Sin separates men from God, and it separates men from that relationship. And the thing that just blows me away is the fact that God is so serious about this relationship. So serious, He sent His Son to this old world to go to a cross and die for our sin. God's very serious about this relationship. I think you and I need to get serious, and we need to love the Lord our God at Gorge Springs Baptist Church with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and we need to be the best listeners around. When God says something, we need to hear, and we need to obey Him. And that's the third word I want to give you, loyalty. Now, if we listen and obey God, we will not perish. We as individuals and as a church perish when we lean on our own understanding and we don't listen and obey God. But the third word I want to give you, and I see it here, he says in verse 6, the first part, in all thy ways. Now look that word up in the Hebrew. It means, the word is direct, and it means a way of life, your conduct, your path. Do you know the ways of God, or do you just operate your way? Is it possible to come to church and encounter a service rather than encountering Christ? Yes, it is. We come to church oftentimes and we want church done our way. We want the music a certain style. We want the preacher to preach a certain way. We want things done for us. And you know what happens? We miss God. We focus oftentimes on the absence of the people rather than the presence of God. God, Jesus made it clear. He said, if just two or three gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. He promised you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is he here today? Yes, he is. The problem is we've not joined him yet, and it takes us a while. I was in Jamaica preaching a crusade, and I couldn't hang with their worship. It would take them some nights it would take them 45 minutes to an hour, but there were some services that it would take 3 hours. And I didn't understand that, but those people are so much more in touch with the Holy Spirit than we are. They really are. And I'll never forget, and here I am, you know, I'm the only white guy there. And that black pastor would come back to me. He'd say, they ready for the word. I was sitting in the back because I couldn't hang with their worship. I mean, they would stand and worship 3 hours. But they knew when they were ready to hear God's word. And one of the most moving things was to have him come back there and point his bony finger. He's a little skinny guy. They ready for the word. They ready for the word. I'm telling you something, friend. When you and I focus more on the presence of God in our lives and what he wants to do, we'll be more loyal to our relationship to him. There is no substitute for a personal encounter with the risen Christ. What you need to know is that you are not called to surrender to a pitiful, pale religion, but a powerful, personal, and ever-present Lord who is worthy of your loyalty because of your relationship to him. We are not in a religion with him. We're in a relationship with him. I got to move on because this is my best part right here. The word is remember. I want us to remember today the activity of God here at Gord Springs Baptist Church. But first, I want to talk about this word, and that is God's provision. Notice what he says in verse 6. Acknowledge him. I want us to acknowledge him. Acts 14:27. Love this verse. This is a verse for Gord Springs, and I've got a challenge for our deacons. I've got a challenge for our leadership that we focus on this kind of meeting instead of a business conference. This is what they did in Acts. Acts 14:27. They gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. As your pastor, I'd like to propose a meeting for our church of this nature rather than a business conference. We should not have a business conference where we report things without reporting about the activity of God. It shouldn't be just going through a boring business session where we are talking about things and not understand that this is God's provision. This is how God works in our church. It should be a hallelujah time at every business conference, and we should do what the Word of God says. They reported all that God had done through them. That's what it should be. I want to talk about God's provision here. The truth is, you can rarely afford to obey what God asks you to do. Somebody needs to write that down because we can't. Write it down. We can't afford this new building. The truth is, you can rarely afford to obey what God wants you to do because he wants you to rely on his provision. The question is not, can we afford to obey? The crucial question is this, can we afford not to obey? You see, we can talk about what we can do through the faith promise. Well, here's what I can do and here's what you can do, but we've yet talked about what God can do. Did you know God don't need any of us? God can do anything he wants to do. This is not my church. This is not your church. We don't own it. It belongs to him. And friend, God never has started a work that he couldn't pay for. This is God's provision. So the question is not, can we afford to obey? The crucial question, can we afford not to obey? When we step out in faith, He is always faithful to provide what we lack. Too often I've watched churches wait for a more convenient time, an affordable time to obey God, but that time never did come. Psalm 84:11 is the right verse. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. That's Psalm 84:11. In the context of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You read verses 9 and 10 of chapter 3. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It says shall. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. So shall thy presses burst out with new wine. When God says it, you can count on it. Let me tell you something, friend. God is our provider. You may have a job, but God provided the job. You may have an income, but God provided the income. And everything that you have, here's the truth. It's not really yours. It all belongs to God. You shouldn't have a problem giving back to God what is already His. It won't yours in the first place. And if you'll learn that, God will provide for you, so much so, He says, your barn shall be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Here's the place I've been excited about getting to, and that is to talk about God's power. Because we need to understand that this God who provides, we need to remember this. He has the power. He has the resources. He has the strength. He has everything that we need. The Bible says He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do you remember the song we sung? We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop. Church, listen up. Look up here. We need to stop for a moment and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. You're our creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our comforter, our joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shoulder, our peace in the midst of the storm. Listen to this. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. When we walk through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all you've done, and we will shout, our God is good, and He is the faithful one. Wait a minute, I'm not done. Right here. Wait a minute. I can tell you personally how powerful God is. I still remember the day you saved me. I believe I'll have a spell. The day I heard you call out my name, you said you loved me and would never leave me, and I'll never be the same. Wait. We ain't done yet. There is power in giving Him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the one from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the one whose glory has been shown. I'll tell you, God will show up in all of His glory and all of His presence when we recognize Him. Hello. When we start, God, I give you the glory. I give you the praise. You saved me. I didn't save me. You know why I'm securing my salvation? Because it's not mine, it's His. He did the saving. And what God hath given, no man can pluck from His hand. Well, wait a minute, Gord Springs. I know y'all ready. You ready for this end? I'm just getting started. Wait, right here at Gord Springs, we need to stop and we need to remember who our God is. And this is just half of the things that I could write down from my mind. I can't remember it all. But I'm going to try to share with you what I know took place in 2017 right now. So let's remember. I've already mentioned, in 2017, we saw 38 new converts baptized. In Vacation Bible School, 24 professions of faith was made. In Judgment House, 79 people made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. That comes to the grand total that I gave you earlier of 137 people who accepted Jesus Christ through this ministry in 2017. 5 new ministries were started through this church, through this ministry in 2017. 483 new contacts were made by our visitation and outreach teams. 157 shoeboxes at an estimated cost of $4,000 was given to Operation Christmas Child. Our church saw God working so that $200,000 could be moved from the general fund to the building fund to help start the new Family Life Center. I estimated at a minimum our church has given $28,000 to local and foreign missions, not counting another $6,000 given to revivals and gospel singing love offerings. A plumber company was recently called by Johnny to come out and to repair our septic system with a total cost of nearly $500. When he got through, he looked and said, "I'm going to donate the labor and the parts." And the plumber said he would just give God the glory for it. You know what? That's the activity of God. When we report this kind of thing to our church, we need to say this is what God did. Amen? Our student ministry was sort of out of it and discouraged. But God showed up through His church at a spaghetti dinner. And by you showing up, it showed them that they were loved and supported. And on top of all that, you gave $1,200 for students to go to Winterfest this weekend at a cost of $4,300. And God provided every penny for them to go and then some. Oh, I'm not done yet. I get excited. 63,717, write it down. This is documented under our website. 63,717 visits have been made to our church's website this past year. 63,000 people. 63,717, I got it last night off of our website, have visited the website. Over 200 people viewed our last Sunday worship service. Last Sunday, 200 people have viewed that service. Oh, I'm not done. If that's not enough, 175 people were fed a Thanksgiving meal through our church this year, 2017. Then the next day, many of those same people, they prepared the Thanksgiving meal, went to Charlotte to pack shoeboxes all day for Operation Christmas Child. 53 people received food from our food pantry in 2017. A widow recently, her husband had died, and Paul Jones made it known to some of our men, and the lady's car was not working, and someone in our church repaired her car. Then another man went over and repaired a lawnmower. Three of our deacons built a new railing for Christine Gonia, and that's just half of what God did in 2017. That's just what I can remember. I believe God showed up the other Sunday when the choir did their cantata. I mean, we need to talk about what God is doing in our lives. And folks, if we would talk about that, the devil could not stick his ugly head up and say one negative thing about what God's doing. Amen? Amen. But you know what the church is guilty of? This church is guilty of it and all churches. We'll pay more attention to what the devil says than what God's doing. Yeah. You know why? Because we get ill with the devil. I get ill with him. I want to knock his lights out. But I don't need to fight a battle that I've already won. I'm telling you, folks, my desire is this, that you and I focus on the activity of the presence of God. I've only named, and you know what? This is just, there's no explanation to what I just read, but that God did that. This church couldn't have done that without God. No way. There's no way. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe all that happened through this church." It did, and a whole lot more that I couldn't remember. God helped the preacher. God helped Gord Springs. We need to remember that God's presence is here, that God has shown up in 2017. And if He did it in 2017, can He do it again in 2018? Let's talk about God's presence. I did last Sunday. I love this scripture. Matthew 1:23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. That tells me right there, God is present. God showed up in a little manger, and He made a way from a manger to the cross. And God made a way for you and I. We need to remember what God has done. We need to remember. No wonder it's engraved on the Lord's Supper table. It's in the Bible. In remembrance. Because I'm guilty and you're guilty. We forget the good things of God. Someone says something, I'll raise my hand, discouraging, and I'll focus on the discouragement and not focus on all the things that God is doing. You ever done that? It's so easy to get focused on the negative instead of the positive because the negative hits us wrong. Why don't the positive hit us right? Why can't we remember that God's presence is ever with us? We need to make a big thing, church, about the activity of God's presence because our God is a big God, and I personally feel like that God is big in this church. Hello? I'm afraid sometimes that we can have a big building and not see a big God. We can have a big song service and not see a big God. We can have too much church and not enough God. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. The number one priority of a church is to welcome, nurture, and concentrate on the presence of the living God being active among us. And after we get that right, everything else will flow out of it. Evangelism, Bible teaching, preaching, finances, buildings, missions, outreach. If you get that right, the promise is everything else will fall in place. Are y'all with me this morning? Some of you are looking at me like, huh? I'm telling you, you get this right, everything else flows from it. Remember the presence. Remember the power. Remember the provision of God because we're so prone to forget. That's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember, I've done a work among you. You know, the devil don't like me preaching this morning. He wants us to forget. Hello? Some of you forgot. Some of you, I'm looking at you. You look sort of blank at me like, huh? God is a God who is at work all the time in our lives. We just don't acknowledge it. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And if you acknowledge him, what will he do? He will direct your path. And that's the last thing, revelation. Here's the revelation. And he shall direct thy path. Now, I want to give you three things here that I hope that will help you. Number one, I call this spiritual senses. What is a spiritual sense? A spiritual sense is when you are alert to the presence of God. Here's a good example of what I mean by spiritual senses. When you pray, it's critical to be spiritually alert so you don't miss how God responds. Oftentimes we pray and we just forget. What if you miss God? You want to know why he answered your prayer? You didn't stay long enough there for him to tell you anything. Hello? I mean, we do all the talking. God, this is Ronnie. I want this, that, and other. We treat him like a Santa Claus. We go and sit on Santa Claus' lap. Well, here, God, this is what I want for Christmas. And God's like, say what? I don't want to give you. I want a relationship. I want something better. We focus more on the presence under the tree than we do the presence of God. Amen? We do. Christmas time. I'm guilty. You're guilty. Oh, did we get enough gifts for the little kids? Did we get enough for the grandchildren? Did I get that gift? Did I get this gift? And I get so focused on the blooming presence, I forget about the presence of God. May God increase our spiritual senses at Gorge Springs Baptist Church. When we pray, it's critical to be spiritually alert so we don't miss God's answer. Every church body is equipped with spiritual senses, though many congregations have grown unaccustomed to using them. We need to be spiritual sponges and soak up all that God is telling us. The question is not whether God wants to reveal his purpose and plan for our life in 2018. The question is not whether we heard from God or not, because he's speaking whether we heard from him or not. The question is, are you listening and obeying? Revelation 2:29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Adrian Rogers said, God's will is what you would want for yourself if you had sense enough to want it. Let's increase our spiritual senses and alertness in 2018. Are y'all still with me out there? Amen. I'm going to preach this either next Sunday or next Sunday. I've quoted this verse. I know this verse. I've preached it before. Revelation 3:20. And oftentimes we don't understand the context. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Now, what does that mean? It means, and this is, and by the way, Revelation is about the churches today. It means that God is standing on the outside of the church and he's knocking. Yeah, that's what it means. It's not talking about a lost person. No, it's talking about the presence of God. What if Jesus walked in this room today? What would y'all do different? He is in the room today. He came in when you came in. He lives in you. There ought to be a lot of rejoicing in this place. I'm telling you, when we all get together, our spiritual senses ought to be at all-time high. Because your faith and my faith and your spiritual sensitivity, if we would get as sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we are sensitive to each other and what people say about us, revival would break out. God would do a great work. Spiritual senses is a good word. I want you to remember that. Spiritual senses. And then I call the next thing spirit stealths. Spirit stealths. What do I mean by that? Now that's invented, that's an original from Ronnie Stewart, so just hold on. That means where the Holy Spirit's leading, you stealth. Oh! Say, preacher, have you lost your mind? Let me explain it to you. Proverbs 3, 6, and he shall direct thy paths. Isaiah 30, 21, I've not lost my mind. Listen to this. And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear his command behind you. This is the way you walk in it. Henry Blackaby said this, quote, anything of spiritual significance that happens in your life will be a result of God's activity in you. He is infinitely more concerned with your life and your relationship with him than you or I could possibly be. God is more concerned about 2018 than you are. He's already got your plan. He's got the path. He's got it all figured out. So why not trust him? Let me bring it down to you. We got a lot of military people here. We got some young ones like TJ and others who are just starting. But suppose you were in a war-torn country and you had to cross a field full of landmines. If a local soldier knew exactly where every one of them were buried and offered to take you through the field, would you protest and say, I don't want you to tell me what to do. I want to be free to make my own choices. Would you do that? No, even the dumbest of the dumbest wouldn't do that. I don't know about you, but I would stay as close to that military person because he already knows where all the landmines are. I'd stay close to him. His direction to me would not restrict me. They would preserve my life. And as we walked together, he would say, don't go that way because that path will kill you. Go this way and live. And that's exactly what God is saying. God's saying, I've already been through the landfills, the landmines. I know the struggles. I know the pain. I know what your future holds. And folks, it's not a matter if, it's just a matter of when. We will see troubled times. But I'm here to tell you, one of my favorite verses is Psalm 46, 1. God is our, know the personal pronoun, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. What counts is that he's there. Are y'all following me today? You just make sure that you're in line with his steps. If he says, Ronnie, step here. Well, Lord, I can't afford to take that step. I can't afford not to take that step. Amen? Well, Lord, I just, I'm not excited about the church getting in debt here. And I'm not. But if God says take the step, it'd be a dangerous thing not to take it. Amen? Well, God, we don't know how you can do this. God says, I'm God and you're not. Now be quiet. Amen? Amen? Lean not to your own understanding. But Lord, in my understanding, I've done the figuring. And the blooming bank's going to get a lot of money. I don't want to pay the bank any interest. Step out, son. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God's in control of all things. And there's not a thing in your life, no circumstance, that he don't know how to deal with it. Now, you can lean to your own understanding and fail. And a lot of you do. A lot of people fail because they lean to their own understanding. And they don't step out, they don't trust God, they don't believe God, and they just keep walking backwards, and they walk backwards, and they walk backwards, and it's a dangerous thing to go back where God's brought you from. Spirit steps is when you hear the Holy Spirit and you follow Him. Don't go that way, the soldier says. Then you best not go that way. He knows where the mines are. He knows where the mines are. God knows where all the trouble is. Last thing I'm done, seeking salvation. What is this revelation? It's a revelation of God's presence. Where has your path taken you in 2017? For many who walked in this church, they chose to continue to follow their path, and they walked out of here without Christ. Oh, I've seen it in people's faces standing in this pulpit. You don't see the expression on people's faces. I've seen people get mad. I want to hear about new salvation. I didn't come here to get saved. I just came here because I want to check it off. You know, a lot of people do that. I just want to check it off my list. I attended church today. I don't want no preacher to tell me about the presence of God. I might have to do something with that. Friend, the best thing, look up here. I don't know what time it is, and I don't care. What matters right now is whether God is here. And the Bible says that God is seeking. God's calling you. You best follow Him. I'm telling you, it's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of heaven or hell. Where is your path going in 2018? Whose path are you on? Yours? John 14:6, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to my Father but by me. Here is the revelation of God's presence. Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. Salvation isn't about getting man into heaven. It's about getting God into man. It's about making dead man live. It's about living for God and doing His will as opposed to the will of the world and the devil. And church, that's where we are right now. Are we going to listen to the world, the flesh, and the devil, or we're going to listen to God? I'm telling you something. God has made Himself known. God is ever present with us. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Listen to me carefully. And the same God who saved you, He didn't save you to drop you, to lose you, to keep you from going forward. He saved you with a purpose in mind, and He said, you're going to do greater things than I've done because I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to save you, and you're going to live on this earth now that I might get all the glory. Folks, what God wants when it comes to His presence is that God wants to show up, and He gets all the glory for it. Oh, you need to hear me. Hear me well today. I want to speak this loud. Do not follow a man. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never lead you down the wrong pathway. Hello? The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you wrong. You follow a man, you could be following a Jim Jones. You know what he did. Do not follow a man. Do not follow a man. There's only one who can save, and that's Jesus. Amen? And if you'll come to Jesus today, you know what He'll do? He'll save you. Amen. Old Pilate tried to accuse him. Satan tried to seduce him. Death tried to destroy him. And the grave tried to hold him. But he stands forth upon the highest pinnacles of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils as the living personal Christ, our Savior. Salvation has come. And Jesus is here today to save somebody. You say, preacher, I didn't come here today for that. Well, Jesus is here for that. This is what this is all about, pointing men and women, boys and girls to Jesus. Look up here, church. You may not be excited, but I am so proud to be affiliated with a church that had something to do with 137 people getting saved. Judgment House. I like that ministry. Souls were saved. Vacation Bible School. I like that ministry. People get saved. Gordon Springs Baptist Church. Look up here and I'm done. God's presence is here because I've seen many people walk this aisle and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Baptized probably close to 100 people since I've been here. Really? Yeah. Baptized right at 100 people. He said, well, they're not all here. Well, we didn't baptize all of them to stay here. You know what? Some of them went to another area, they moved or whatever, but God is using this church as a mission field. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to do. Let's bow our head. Church, the activity of God's presence is real. Let's acknowledge it. Let's don't acknowledge our way. Let's acknowledge His way. If you don't know Jesus as Savior today, here's His way. You just step out right now by faith. You just step out. You follow the Spirit steps. The Spirit steps is here right now. The Holy Spirit's at work. And if there's a desire for you to trust Christ as your Savior, that's the Holy Spirit right now working. He's stepping. Are you going to follow His steps? Oh, there's landmines everywhere, all around us. But the Spirit will never lead you wrong. The Spirit of God will never lead you to a place where your life will be destroyed. He'll lead you to the place where life will be given to you. Let Jesus come into your heart today. Father, this is your invitation. It's not mine. I know you gave me this sermon to just simply come here today and say, Gourd Springs, remember, God's presence is with you. Lord, we can't afford not to obey you. It would be detrimental for us not to obey you. May we follow the Spirit's leading, God, here. May we have a spiritual sense about us, an alertness. And I pray that that would even be true at this invitation right now. I pray for every person in this church that there would be a holy, holy calmness to come over every one of us right now. And there would be a spiritual alertness of your presence moving in this place. We've got a decision to make here. Are we going to follow you or not? Are we going to live for you or not? There's no gray area. There's nothing in between. We're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. We as a church are going to either obey you or we're going to disobey you. We're either going to step out in faith or we're going to stay where we are and fail. Oh God, may we not fail you. And God, may we not fail ourselves. May we step out and put our faith in you. I pray that's what will happen today, that someone will take that step of faith. And you said, you will make their path right. You are righteous. And I pray today that someone will come to know you as Lord and Savior. This is your invitation. May we decide today who we're going to follow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. You come.